CO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, day 15 of the government shutdown, and workers at food banks like Claire Tiffin in Arkansas say they're seeing a big influx in federal workers.
We're doing emergency fundraising so that we can make sure we have extra food available.
Israel says one of four dead hostages returned as part of a peace agreement in Hamas is a Palestinian. That leaves the remains of 21 Israelis still missing. Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke exclusively with CBS Morning's Tony DeCoppel on his tough stance leading up to the Gaza peace plan.
When I think I have to say no, I say it. And that's my job. My job is to protect the Jewish state and assure the future of the Jewish people. And that means assuring the future of the state of Israel.
Supreme Court takes up congressional redistricting maps today. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The big issue is whether or not states can consider race when they're drawing district lines, or if that violates the Constitution, and specifically the 14th Amendment and the 15th Amendment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Average gas prices have fallen 8.6 cents per gallon over the last week, Melissa Kay reports.
The average price at the pumps in Wisconsin landed at $2.68 on Monday. This is over 21 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and 35 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say the national average could drop below $3 per gallon for the first time in years. In the weeks ahead, it's possible a handful of stations in some states, including Wisconsin, could drop below $2 per gallon. That hasn't happened since the COVID-19 pandemic.
Medicare open enrollment begins today. Joanne Krulatz shares tips on how to protect yourself when enrolling.
When taking part in open enrollment, consumers should beware of scammers. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Scammers and dishonest actors often try to take advantage of older consumers during the same period by impersonating Medicare and asking for their Medicare account information and selling unnecessary or fraudulent health products or services.
Michelle Reinen says that there are trusted resources to utilize to avoid any issues caused by suspected scammers.
Instead of clicking links in emails, texts, or online ads and pop-ups, consumers always need to visit Medicare's website by typing in the address directly themselves or calling the phone number on the back of their Medicare card.
If you are a victim of a Medicare enrollment scam or any scam, you can contact ADCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at DATCPHotline@wi.gov.
I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Dodgers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Dodgers winning Game 2 of the National League Championship Series 5-1 over the Brewers. L.A. now up 2-0 in the best-of-7 series. So what's the solution? The Brewers' Christian Yelich.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to play better. It's not an ideal start to the series by any means. Like, it's not what you want to get off to, but just got to continue to battle and find a way to get the offense going. You know, I got to be better. We got to be better. Just facts, you know. So fly out tonight, take the off day tomorrow, and be ready to battle in Game 3.
Game 3 tomorrow night in L.A. at 5:08. NFL, the Packers trying to figure out why they've given up 60 points in the fourth quarter in just the first five games of the season.
We're just like, why is that happening? Are we running out of gas? They got the ball to start the second half. They go on that 18-play drive or whatever it was. I mean, ate up or 10 minutes off the clock. I don't know. Does that gas you out?
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO. Wausau is home for Matt Nair on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Meteorologist Brandon Bormans, a lingering shower possible in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies and cool with highs in the mid-50s. For tonight, an isolated shower after midnight, lows in the mid-40s. On Thursday, a few scattered showers with mostly cloudy skies and highs in the lower 60s. Current temperature is 46.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, TV host, and host of the Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel. Then Tim Sowers from the Overture Center joins me to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north. Wednesday morning now, October 15th, 2025. Already halfway through the month of October here, and temperatures ranging from a low of a 43 in Antigo and Eagle River to 54 down in southeast Wisconsin. It is 46 right now in Wausau and in Rapids, 48 in La Crosse, 46 in the Chippewa Valley, 52 in Madison right now. And again, nice to have you along. Ellie Bordeaux, Up North News newsletter editor, is going to be joining us in just a bit here. Then at the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking to State Senator Chris Larson. We originally booked him to talk about his bill that would increase taxpayer transparency for the voucher school program. But there was also a rather contentious debate in the State Senate yesterday about a resolution honoring Charlie Kirk, to the point where Senator Larson's microphone got cut off by the Senate president because she did not like the things that Senator Larson was saying about Charlie Kirk's, you know, life and record. And so I'm sure we'll talk to the senator about that as well. That and so much more still ahead. And first, I've got to acknowledge a few things in the mailbag here on the text line. Dave in New Berlin first said that he just got into work and he missed the history lesson from last hour. He is very unhappy about that. And says, talk about Brewers baseball, which we don't want to do, Dave. team did not look good, Parker. The team.
I wonder if that's a command telling us to talk about Brewer baseball because he missed us talking about it earlier, or he's like, ugh, talk about Brewer baseball.
I wondered if it might be that. Yeah, you can't often read the tone. And then he has a classic follow-up. Talk about Dave from New Berlin. He likes to hear his name on the radio. Well played, Dave from New Berlin.
Fair enough.
You are there. So thank you for that. And the Brewers lose 5-1. They're down 2-0. The series heads to Los Angeles now, and they will play tomorrow. Oops, I got to fix that banner on the screen here on social media. That's actually game 3 that will be played tomorrow. I wish we could do a do-over for game 2, but it's actually game 3. Tomorrow coverage starts at 4:30 on several Civic Media stations. And so there you go. Hopefully the Dodgers have run out of good starting pitchers. I know. I'm laughing. They've got a $500 million payroll. The odds are kind of against that.
I was just thinking Clayton Kershaw about that too.
Let's see. Also in the comment sections from YouTube, from Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 46 degrees. Had about a third of an inch of rain overnight. Has a doctor's appointment in Shawano, then getting his papers faxed over for the state. Right. We did need the rain. It was very welcome. It seems the Brewer bats always cool off in their NLCS appearances. Yeah, true that. And then also wants to make note that Ellie does an excellent job with the newsletter. I get them. It is very informative. So we got to pass that on to Ellie in a moment here. And Tony finally reminds us the Brewers won 14 straight games this year. They can do 4 in a row yet here in the playoffs. Thank you, Tony. We needed to hear that. So All right, well, let's bring in Ellie Bordeaux, newsletter editor for Up North News. You can sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good, thank you. And I was looking at today's newsletter. I see that you included, first I saw the photo of you and your boyfriend Jaisal at a Brewer game, and I thought, were you at the playoff game last night? And then had to do the newsletter that goes out at 6 a.m. and then radio at 7 a.m. And then, of course, I read the caption, and it's from a game that you guys went to in April, but still.
Yeah, no, we were not at the game last night. That would have been a little bit of a late night, but I know a lot of people that were, and a little disappointing for sure. But
yeah, do you know one of my one of the things I hoped to do this year was I noticed they do a lot of crowd shots when you're covering baseball games, and that's fine. And I know enough people who are always talking about going to the Brewers games that I was like making it a point this year in the crowd shots. I wanted to be able to say, I know that person. You know, might have been Joe Zepecki or maybe Parker using the radio station tickets or something, Luke Mathers, other friends who've gone to games. And I was 0-for this season. I did not see in the crowd shots, but I will continue to watch because I firmly believe the series is coming back to Milwaukee for Game 6 next Monday, and we'll be checking out the crowd then. Maybe one of you two will be getting to Game 6 tickets between now and then.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, right after you rob that bank. Yeah, exactly. So Ellie makes mention of, you know, how nice it is to go to the ballpark and see a game. And then, you know, gets into all kinds of other things like must-see attractions in Wisconsin. There's a few different examples of that lately, Ellie, because people really seem to like to visit Wisconsin in the fall.
Yeah, this is true. There are a ton of things on this list: Devil's Lake State Park, the Apostle Islands, the Wisconsin Dells, House on the Rock, Tully Hessen, all those kinds of things. I think those are super cool attractions. Some of the things I haven't even been to yet, and they're on my Wisconsin bucket list, and I've lived here my whole life, you know? So make sure you go visit those. I think the list that they have on here is a pretty good compiling of.
Oh, I mean, it includes Door County. It includes Lambeau Field. And frankly, I hadn't been to Door County until last year. My wife grew up in Manitowoc County. She'd never been to Door County until last year. And we went for a drive around it and said, we definitely have to spend a weekend here one of these times. So yeah, there's always something for everybody to discover in some way, shape or form. And we've done that with a few things here. We've you had a story recently about fall cabin getaways. Again, there's all kinds of things that people study about types of travel.
Right. Yeah. Wisconsin is definitely, I think, something that people don't necessarily always look out for, but it always ends up on the list, you know, like in one way or another. So this list is from Texas Real Estate Source. They did a survey of, I think, like 3,000 people and asked, where would you want to have a cabin in the fall? And Wisconsin made the list 3 times. And yeah, I mean, Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin in the fall is the best season. And especially up north, like you get to see all the fall colors. There are beautiful drives. There are beautiful lookout points. Like you just can't beat it. So,
and the thing is, we're not quite there yet. Folks watching us on social media will notice that I put up a new photo of Lake Wissota taken day before. And we don't have the morning fog in there, but you also notice the trees haven't really changed yet. There's some hints of yellow out there, but not much. And I think because we had plenty rain this summer that it's taking a while for the leaves to change. And so my message to everybody else is, if you think you missed it up north, you haven't. Plan a weekend, come on up here and get around.
Totally. Yeah, there's still a lot of green going on, even in like central Wisconsin where I am. There's still a lot of green, so there's I don't think it has even reached its peak yet, so definitely go up north and check it out.
Yeah. And then there's some news stories being covered in here as well. It's not all about travel and events. For example, we had a story this week on Port Washington getting set to break ground on an AI data center project, but residents are trying to fight back. And the story there by one of our freelance writers explains some of the issues that are at stake in this project.
Yeah, there's been a lot of pushback on that in Port Washington. And I know there's some other data plans that have been talked about being proposed that have received pushback as well. So this story goes into that. It's a really great description of what's going on. What does it mean for that city? What does it mean for Wisconsin? What does the data center do? Those kinds of things. So it's really informative and lets you know what is this? Why is this important? Why is this relevant to me? And all that sort of stuff.
We're talking to Ellie Bardot, who does the newsletter for Up North News now. And how did you, how would you gauge the response when you asked people to send in, you know, some kind words and photos of their favorite small businesses in some of their hometowns?
I have gotten a ton of great responses. It's when I do my Locals Love section on Fridays, it's sometimes hard to pick what to feature, you know, because I get so many great responses and there's so many things I want to highlight. And I definitely, if you send them in, I will get to them, you know. But people love their towns. People love their small businesses, just absolutely raving about boutiques, different shops, different wineries, cafes, all that kind of stuff. So I love hearing those types of things. And it also selfishly is things that I can check out, you know, and show right. other people that live in that area, like, oh, you should go check this out. People really like this. So I asked on Friday for people to send in their favorite pizza spots. And so hopefully I get some good responses there. Because
I was going to say, you're getting some good answers there, I'll bet, for this coming Friday's issue.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm getting a lot of good responses for sure. And again, it's a little, it's nice for me because then I'm like, oh, when I'm in this area, oh, I can go absolutely. Check this place out, you know?
Yes. Well, we could set up pizza tours. Like, you know, for a weekend, go spend this place on Friday, this place Saturday, this place Sunday, and go try the pizzas in all these places. And then the next right. weekend, go to this part of the state and do the pizzas, yes. you know, here, here, and here. We've done that on the radio a couple of times here where we've asked people to just put in the comment sections their favorite, you know, non-chain pizza places, and the comment section fills right up. And so I don't doubt that you're getting responses for that, for pizza. And so then will you at that point kind of just go back to small businesses in general? You just want to see something specific like pizza about the response, or do you have other categories that you're looking at doing for your Locals Love section on Fridays?
Yeah, we're going to do a different category every Friday. So every Friday I'm going to ask for something a little bit different. This week was pizza. Next week, I'm not sure. You'll have to stay tuned and find out. But yeah, we'll check out something different every week. And it is a great way to highlight different small businesses around the state and get people going to those spots. So it's really great.
And of course, we've right away started on the text line. Dave in New Berlin is nominating Crossroads 2 in, believe it or not, New Berlin.
Noted.
Dave's a local. So yeah, we thought since he was the first one to throw something in this morning, we'd give a shout out to the folks at Crossroads Pizza as well. And by the way, I'm glad that you asked not just for people to talk about their favorite business or pizza place, but to send the photos in as well. There's something we don't do now, but we did when the newsletter first started 5 years ago, was ask people just to send in like weather pics. And that way we would have, you know, user generated content. That's one of the buzzwords of the industry there. Mm-hmm. And we would get inundated with photos of people that wanted to show, you know, the field across from their house or the lake or, you know, the birds up in the trees or whatever that shows things off. And I think people genuinely enjoy sending photos in of things around their community, whether it's their favorite business or things like that. So I'm glad to see you're getting a good response to that.
Yeah, definitely. I love getting photos in too. And I also especially wanted people to tell me, why is it your favorite? What yes. what makes it so great? You know, is it the service? Is it the people? Is it the pizza? What is it? You know, so I love getting photos and I love getting all those responses. So it's really great.
It is. The only downside is that sending photos is still a little iffy. And I mean, sometimes the photos come through as normal size photos. And right. sometimes they don't, you know, they adjust the file size or something, and you've got these photos that if you tried to look at them on your screen, the pictures are this big. Right. And then you get some other photos where it's like, you need to squint like this. It's a little tiny postage stamp that they sent in.
Right. Like and this big and all pixelated. And
all pixelated. It's like, you really want to use the photo. And so I send this note back, like, can you send it at a different file size? Oh no, I don't even ask anymore. That just opens a whole can of worms. But
right.
do feel free to try to send your photos yes. in. Send them in to us, respond to the newsletter, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Ellie Bardot, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, we will be talking to State Senator Chris Larson about the Charlie Kirk resolution debate yesterday and taxpayer transparency for voucher schools. Live from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WXCO Morning Report, 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes. And one more segment with Jane Graham Jennings. She is the executive director of the Women's Community. We are talking about Domestic Violence Awareness Month and a whole bunch more. And there is something that you can do to show that you're thinking about the people and thinking about the people that are fighting to end domestic violence in our community.
Well, one thing, Domestic Violence Awareness Month is purple. So if you see purple ribbons, wearing purple ribbons, that's you're showing support for
purple
survivors.
Hair.
Purple hair.
We do record this for YouTube so people can actually watch it on YouTube, and if you're watching the camera, you'll see Jane has some purple hair to mark the occasion.
That's for the whole month. And then we have some other interesting things happening. So there's a clothesline project throughout the month at various locations, and that is basically survivors putting their stories on t-shirts and jeans and hanging that up. And it's a visual for people to see what it looks like, and then it's also a healing thing for survivors to kind of put their pain and their story out on display without them being personally identifiable. We also have a really interesting workshop on Wednesday at North Central Technical College, Understanding the Amish and Mennonite Culture and Barriers to Domestic Violence. So that we have a keynote speaker who's going to be talking about that. And then there will also be a meeting the author of a book about surviving domestic violence in Amish and Mennonite culture. So that is this month. The 27th is the book discussion, and the 15th, you do have to register at NTC, but we would welcome anyone who wants to come and learn a bit more about understanding Amish, Mennonite, and domestic violence.
That is incredibly interesting, because you don't think of that. Again, and I imagine that so much of the work that you do, people probably say, oh, I never considered that. I never thought of that. I would never have guessed that. I can only imagine how many times you must hear that.
Yeah, and even in the field, we are always learning, because there are pockets of cultures and populations that are, unfortunately, domestic violence happens everywhere. It's just far too common. But there are pockets of things that we need to understand so that when someone comes to our services, we at least have a baseline understanding of what additional barriers are going to exist for someone from a different culture. So we're very grateful to the keynote speaker, who's a survivor, who's going to be talking about what the journey was for her and what it's like being Amish and Mennonite surviving domestic violence.
Real quickly, I guess I'm piqued a little bit about that. Within certain communities, the barriers are even higher, aren't they?
Yes.
And I imagine that in a community like that, the barriers must be fairly high.
The more isolated a community is, the more often people aren't able to ask for help. In certain cultures and the way things work, you're not supposed to go outside of your culture to get help. But if the person harming you is one of the leaders of that community, where are you going to get help? That happens in various communities and cultures and organizations and jobs even.
For folks out there that are in those situations that need help, what do they do?
First, know that you're not alone. It's not your fault. Nothing you ever do can make someone hurt you, because victims so often think that they can, that they've caused the harm. You haven't. Reach out for help. There is help for you. Always, when people aren't ready, they're not sure, you can always call anonymously and just ask questions. You can call our 24-hour support line and talk to someone just to help you start thinking things through. We can be a respite place for you, just to call and come spend some time in our serenity room, just so you can think away from the noise of being in this relationship that's so confusing. Just reach out. People are, I can handle it, it's going to get better. Most often we don't see that to be true. Most often it escalates and gets much worse. So please reach out. Help is available. We are here. We believe you and we understand.
You mentioned as well earlier that you often will get notes with donations saying, well, thank you, because in the past there was not a place like this for my mother or somebody else within a community. If there is somebody out there, because as we talked about, there are challenges financially. If people say, and people have opportunities to give in different areas, if they think this is an area that is worthy of the support, what's the best way for them to reach out to you and to provide? Because every little bit, I'm sure, helps.
Yes. Well, actually, thanks for asking that, because during October, we had a donor who is doing a challenge, a match challenge. So if we can, they will match up to $10,000 of any donations that come in for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So our website, you can go to our website and we have the ways you can give there. We have Venmo, we have PayPal, you can send a check, good old-fashioned check for anyone who's still writing checks. We accept all of it.
And I see on the very front page, right on the right-hand side, says donate. Part of our show notes, and every day that when we do this program, we have a podcast page and we will have a link to the Women's Community website and you can see donate right there. Boy, that's wonderful to have somebody that's going to be a match. And that so if somebody here is thinking about it, this is the month to do it, because your donation is twice as
double it. Yes.
That's good. So again, we will put the link to the Women's Community website on our website. And again, just check it out at WXCO.FM under the news section and our morning report section. And then you can also hear the entirety of our conversation. And also we'll have a link to our YouTube, because then you can listen to it all in one sitting as well. So you can get all the information that we've been talking about here today. Anything that we've missed that you'd like to kind of touch on before we leave? Because I often will have a discussion and then we'll get done, and like 10 minutes later after a guest will leave, I'll think, oh, I should have asked this, or something that we want to make sure to touch on before we wrap up. Anything that you want to kind of finish with here this morning?
Again, it's so complex. So I always want to, first of all, to anyone who is experiencing harm, you're not alone. It's not your fault. Always. And then to friends or family who are like, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know if I should call. The thing I say is, nothing changes if no one knows. Does making a phone call to law enforcement make it worse? Maybe. But we also know nothing changes if no calls are made. Secrecy enables harm to continue. We have to bring it out of the secrecy, which is why we try to raise awareness.
The last time we talked, I said to you that, and I think you said as well, that the ultimate goal is that you won't have a job.
Yes.
That's the ultimate dream, that you would not have to have a job. But I will say for everybody in our community, thank you for what you and your colleagues do for the people that need the help the most. And I think it's such a vital part of our community, what you and the women's community have done for so many years. So Jane Graham Jennings, Executive Director, thank you again for your time here during this Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And again, hope to have you back again real soon.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We are going to take a break. We'll have more coming up. WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
So over the past 30 days, there's been 42 confirmed flocks of birds and one livestock operation that have all been impacted by high path avian influenza. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. So the message of biosecurity on all farms is critical at this time of the year. Danielle Biddick-Weedle is a veterinarian herself and owner of Preventalytics. She says that biosecurity is something that you should consider an investment for your overall farm health.
I always say biosecurity is kind of like an insurance plan. It's really hard to measure if it's working, because if disease isn't there, you want to attribute, you know, your farm animal care program that's administered through the National Milk Producers Federation works on a lot of things, just basic animal care things, clean water, clean bedding, good nutrition, having a herd health program, having a veterinarian of record, having a vaccination plan, a deworming plan. All those are kind of the foundations for biosecurity, and those are investments producers make.
Danielle Biddick-Weedle, vet and owner of Preventalytics, encourages all farms to take a look at their biosecurity plan. If you've got questions, reach out to your co-ops or other industry leaders and find out what they can do to assist you. Also, make sure you're minimizing farm cross-contamination, trying to move cattle less, especially during the winter. And if there's people around your farming operation, make sure they're entering clean and thinking about your biosecurity plan as well. Markets are next.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility.
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Tuesday, the 40-pound block cheese was up 3¾ cents at 170¾. AA butter up 2 at 164. December corn this morning down a penny at 412. November beans right now unchanged, 1007. July wheat up a penny at 542. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Meteorologist Brandon Bormans, a lingering shower possible in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies and cool with highs in the mid-50s. For tonight, an isolated shower after midnight, lows in the mid-40s. On Thursday, a few scattered showers with mostly cloudy skies and highs in the lower 60s. Current temperature is 46.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children. Right. So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on location for the Majestic Theater in Waukesha, Wisconsin for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Filmmakers, former Packers, all on the show.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Coming up later across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network, we've got some more great talk shows, and they've got some great guests to tell you about as well. Let's see, Matt Nair on Air follows us from 9 to 11, and Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach coming up at 9:35 this morning. Todd Alba's show from 2 until 4 is live from the Majestic Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of the movie No Packers, No Life. So you're not going to want to miss that coming up today on Todd's show. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 until 6. One of her guests includes Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette of the Marquette University Law School Poll, the Marquette Poll. We'll be talking about that with Maggie Dawn. Again, all that and more. And if you want more information on anything that's happening on the Civic Media Radio Network, you should get their daily newsletter. Head over to Substack, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Always great to welcome back to the program State Senator Chris Larson from the Milwaukee area here in our weekly homeroom segment, where we will be talking about school voucher taxpayer transparency, but then a few other things that are coming up as part of the legislature's fall session as well. Senator Chris Larson, good morning. How are you?
Good. Good to see you, Pat. Happy to be on. I'd be doing a little bit better if our Brewers were able to light the bats up yesterday.
Amen to that. Yep. We got to solve that starting pitching problem for them. And hopefully, the bats can wake up in time and get the series back to Milwaukee for a raucous game 6. Things were a little raucous on the floor of the state Senate yesterday, where I served many moons ago. And I'm certainly familiar with how floor debate can go on things that might have a bit of a partisan split. And it's unfortunate that we have a partisan split when talking about Charlie Kirk, because we can all denounce political violence in its many forms, but there should also be something said for being able to denounce, you know, things that a murder victim may have said in their life. And you and others were... big loud noise there. Somebody was scratching the microphone or something. Anyway, we had people that, like yourself, that were trying to tell a more complete version of Charlie Kirk's life because of the debate over this resolution honoring him on what would have been their 32nd birthday. And at one point, Senate President Mary Felskowski just cut your mic off. Tell folks what it is that you were saying and why you were interrupted that way.
Yeah, so we, you know, this I think this was thrown on there specifically to try and you know, give a nod to not just to be able to say the life and legacy and to grieve, which is important, right, and to condemn political violence, because this did not condemn political violence, which we saw as a huge glaring omission. And so two senators spoke before me, Senator Drake and Senator Johnson, spoke very well, highlighting the career of Charlie Kirk that was steeped in white supremacy and of trying to create white men as being victims in our society, which has created so many of the problems that we have. And so they pointed out specific quotes, and I think that kind of increased the temperature of the room. And I wanted to talk specifically about political violence of the nature that's being carried out by our federal government right now under the direction of Donald Trump. And so I think I built a crescendo to the point where they were not wanting to hear any of what Trump had done. And, you know, this kind of goes to what I think a lot of people realize, which is Republicans don't want to hear about it. They kind of have you have a picture of somebody with their hands over their ears and their eyes shut. Because if they know about it, then they have to do something about it or say something about it. So it's pointing out the violence where you have masked men who are coming in and taking people in the dead of night without warrants, where just south of us in Chicago, they are rappelling down on Black Hawk helicopters and zip tying kids in the streets, where they shot a pastor, David Black, in the head with pepper balls, who was simply praying outside of an ICE facility. You have a reporter who was detained under false pretenses. So this is continuing to happen in America. And so if we are going to be denouncing, if they're refusing to denounce violence writ large, this is all included in that. I think that that's something that they should all have to answer for. In the midst of it, they decided to grab the shut off the mic because they didn't want to hear all of this. The debate was concluded. So I find it very ironic, considering part of what they were trying to say was that that Charlie Kirk was somebody who believed in the First Amendment and the ability to be able to talk through your problems. And at that moment, that's when they cut off my mic and they cut off the debate for anybody to be able to speak. And they did a parliamentary procedure where it's called calling the question, something you're familiar with, Pat. Which means that everything has to shut down and no one else is allowed to talk anymore. So it's really the latest in a series of sad moments for our democracy and free speech.
Well, it gets to the whole notion of, before we were talking about DEI, we were talking about CRT, critical race theory, and, you know, the more complete telling of our history in this country. So I'm not really surprised to hear that folks also did not want to hear a more complete telling of the history of Charlie Kirk. You can still be very much opposed to political violence, but again, the deification of Charlie Kirk stops right here. We're talking to Senator Chris Larson, Democrat from Milwaukee. And that was some of yesterday's action on the state Senate floor. Let's get to something that probably will not see action on the state Senate floor, but should. And it is the ongoing work that you and others are doing to try to help taxpayers understand the burgeoning, the exploding cost of taxpayer-supported vouchers for families to send their kids to private, usually religious schools. And I always have to set it up this way. I'm not saying that we're opposed to private schools. Sure. Not at all. You want to go? Go. But asking all the taxpayers of Wisconsin to help pay for it when we're already paying for a school system, that's a totally different thing. And Senator, what do you have in your bill there that would make things more transparent to taxpayers?
Yeah. Well, it's important to recognize that these things are built on an unequal playing field. And it was 30 years ago now, Pat, that the voucher system came to be. And this was started supposed to be as a limited experiment. And the justification was the competition, the free market competition, was going to improve public schools and provide these opportunities for low-income kids. Since then, that claim has not been uttered in over a decade. They scrapped that. They eliminated the idea that this was going to be limited very early on. They also increased the income eligibility to triple it. And one of the things that they did is they made it so that it is in a single year. By the way, the cost now is about $700 million per year with no strings attached. And so this is attaching those strings. And going back to the original heart of what they were meant to do. One of the big ones that we're going to be introducing is about eligibility, that if you are, if you would like to have this taxpayer-funded private education, then you have to meet the income eligibility every single year. I think a lot of people might not realize that if it's 1 year you qualify, that the child is in, they can have their entire career funded by taxpayers. So we will have income eligibility every single year. One of the other things that's unique about the voucher program is that the teachers and the educators and the administrators do not have to be certified in the roles that they're in. which is a big loophole. So we have a bill that would correct for that, to make sure that teachers are teachers, administrators are administrators, and principals are principals, not just somebody grabbing a group of friends and putting together a scam school, which is a majority of the schools when this thing first started. They fell by the wayside. Another one is to make sure that there's a big loophole that allows for virtual schools. This is where they don't have a physical presence and can be accepted from across the entire state. Actually, last year, $65 million went to these virtual schools with no footprint and are siphoning dollars from places across the state. So this is trying to make sure that you have to at least have a physical presence within the state and curtail that profiteering model. So we have a number of other things that would do this, making sure that there's an automatic increase when vouchers get an increase. Right now, the opposite is true. Whenever there's an increase for public school funding, private schools automatically get an increase. We'd also make sure that money follows the kid. This would stop the practice where private schools are kicking kids out after the count day. There's this 2 census days. And I keep hearing report. I heard another one on Monday from a school worker who is retired. He's saying, oh, yeah, with the week after the kids come back, the kids are coming in from these private schools and the money never follows them. Anti-discrimination, private schools taking public dollars should not be allowed to discriminate, not be allowed to kick out kids based off of gender, based off of sexual orientation, or based off religious orientation. And a lot of that is happening. They can discriminate for whatever reason. Students with disabilities, the teachers are not required, as public schools are, to follow their individualized education program to make sure that they're actually getting the tools that they need. So this levels the playing field all across the board to make sure that a lot of the promises that have been made about the voucher program are actually in law and not just a pinky swear.
We are talking to State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee. And one other aspect that might not be in this package, but again, I feel is necessary to bring up, are enrollment caps. Because enrollment caps, you know, putting a cap on enrollment for these vouchers for eligibility is what's kept the growth from exploding. And those caps, if I'm not mistaken, come off in the, not this school year, but maybe the next school year. And if that actually happens, I mean, $700 million now, who knows how they're going to blow the barn doors off the state budget if that happens. Is there a move afoot as well to at least try to get Republicans on the record of voting on whether to keep those caps in place or let them expire?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Pat. Yes, that is the caps coming off is a huge explosion we are waiting for. And we put that as an amendment moving forward. We tried to amend it in the budget, and we have an amendment that is being led by Representative Christian Phelps. And so we are trying to make sure that those caps are reinstituted, because you're right. There are schools, private schools, that are looking to do huge expansions based off of this provision to be able to say, okay, we can take all of these kids and keep the ones that we want, keep the easiest to teach ones, and then kick out all the other ones to public schools, which is what is happening and has been happening for 30 years. So we are in danger. So as they're talking about limited dollars at the local level, local schools have to keep going to referendum to try and make up the gap from the state, where they are $3,380 behind where they should be, adjusting for inflation, where we were 18 years ago per student. So they have to make up for it for referendums. It's going to get way worse. Schools will close. More schools will close. They will have to keep going to referendum, and school districts may have to fold unless we have an equal playing field and the state rededicates itself to ensuring every child has a quality education.
State Senator Chris Larson from Milwaukee. We didn't have time to get into it, but there's a Republican package of bills that would lead to more repealing of state regulations. And we did share your comments yesterday about that, about really, can you put a price on clean air or water? So we appreciate that you are following that package as well. And thank you very much for your time this morning on all of these matters. Chris, thanks so much. I hope you have a great day.
Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it, Pat.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you. Coming up in our next hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram about what's coming up on his What's Going On podcast, and Melissa Baldoff with our climate check, and the chair, the national chair of Protect Our Care, about the government shutdown. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trick me? She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning, everyone. This is the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 FM and 1230 AM. Well, in case you might have noticed by now, I am not a Chad Holmes. I am your engineer / producer, Ian Welsh. And today is October 15th. The temperature is, it's a little chilly right now. Right now it's a high of 46, so definitely a chilly one out there. But we did get a really good rain last night. It was pretty consistent, and I gotta tell you, it was some much needed rain, absolutely. But it should be a pretty nice day today. Looking at a high in the lower 50s, and then as we head towards the weekend, it should be pretty comfortable. Friday is looking like in the low 70s, Saturday being the low 60s, and Sunday will be in the mid 50s, and not really not very much chances of rain on the weekend. There's a possibility of rain on a Thursday, but we'll take it one day at a time. Well, something I'd like to mention, and something that I did with the family last night that was so amazing. Last night, my family and I got to go to the Grand Theater and see the Addams Family for their opening night performance. And let me tell you, this show was absolutely hilarious. I mean, so many funny moments, all your favorite characters from the classic series, they all had their moments. The music of the show was absolutely spectacular. But it wasn't a sold-out show, I noticed, because in the seats where we were sitting, there was actually quite a few empty seats in front of us. But it was still a very good crowd. And the rain didn't stop people from coming out to this show. Truly a very funny show. And personally, as an actor, I think it's very awesome to just actually be able to go in a CA performance instead of just being in it. Because it's nice to be on, you know, both sides of the stage, to be on the stage, but also be in the audience as well, because you get to, you know, appreciate the different perspective of the theater. Hey, but don't you worry. If you're still interested in seeing the Addams Family, they do have one more performance tonight. Yep, this show was actually a two-night show. Last night was their opening, and tonight is their final performance before they move on to the next city. So if you have your tickets, you will truly be in for a very funny and very one-of-a-kind spook-tacular show. I remember, that's at the Grand Theater tonight at 7:30. And it would probably be best to get there probably half an hour early, just in case. And if you need to allow for extra time as well. And speaking of the theater, Wausau Community Theater is currently underway with their rehearsals for Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. And yes, I am a part of that one as well. Performances for that show are actually coming up pretty quick. Those shows will be on November 7th, 8th, and 9th. And these shows will be at the Veninga Theater at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point campus, the Wausau campus. And they also just announced their auditions for their annual holiday show coming up of the timeless classic of A Christmas Carol. And those auditions will definitely be very popular, because A Christmas Carol is a timeless story that has been put on by the Wausau Community Theater for over 20 years. Auditions for that show will take place on Saturday, October 25th at 2 p.m. and Monday, October 27th at 6 p.m. And those will be at the Wausau Community Theater building. You can find more information about that on the WCT Facebook page and also on their website as well. Well, we are coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to have a quick update with the news. weather and sports as well. A kind of a rough two first games for the Brewers, but hopefully they can make a comeback. It's still early, but it'd be nice if they could kind of bring their hay game, get back on the winning track. Chad Holmes will be with us at 8:22, and hopefully I can get a win on the number of the day quiz. That's all coming up in about 20 minutes. You're listening to the WXCO Morning Report on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM and 12:30 AM. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Many federal workers won't get paid on this 15th day of a government shutdown. Alaska's Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski.
Let's just end it. Let's get people back to work. Let's get people paid. Let's get functioning again.
The Senate voted last night but failed to pass the bill to end it. A fragile peace continues in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke to CBS News exclusively.
There are Gazans who are fighting Hamas and are saying, we don't want this anymore. And a lot of people in Gaza now know that Hamas has brought catastrophic consequences to them because of its fanaticism.
Supreme Court's about to take up congressional redistricting again. Loyola Law's Dane Ciolino expects a quick decision.
The 2026 congressional elections are right around the corner, and the state of Louisiana and other states need to know what the rules are for redistricting.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.